Amen. And praise the Lord. And good morning, Valley Brook. Good to see all of you here on this lovely, gorgeous April 18th. What a beautiful spring day it is. And it is just great to be here with you in the house of the Lord. Before I take another step, let me just say that I so appreciate last Sunday, Sister Elder Grace. Thank you so much for that marvelous message and showing us a portrait of Jesus that is an important one for us to realize and that we had not considered before, just how the Lord relates to us in such a human way and with his humor and how we celebrate the Great Shepherd. And I want to thank all of you for just your prayers, and I want to thank you for your expressions of love and appreciation. And you know, when you don't have enough words, it's better to use few. And so I'm going to just use few, and I'm going to actually quote from the Apostle Paul when he said, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" And I do have joy in the presence of God when I remember you before him. When I remember the work that he is doing in each one of you, when I think about the revelations that he's giving to you and that we share with one another in various settings, when I think about the love that is coming from you towards one another, how can I not just thank God and be overflowing with joy when I remember you before him? So praise the Lord for his glorious gift of grace as it is displayed in each one of us and through each one of us. Every Sunday is Celebrate Jesus Sunday here at Valley Brook. This just happens to be called Celebrating Jesus Month. That's our theme, but every Sunday is Celebrate Jesus Sunday here at Valley Brook. This month, it is our direct focus. It is our theme. And next month, we'll be celebrating Jesus again in the context of work, when we look at the world of work. And then in June, we'll be celebrating Jesus again in the context of family. And then in July, we'll be celebrating Jesus again, unless he comes back, when we look at spiritual warfare, and on it goes. But every Sunday here at Valley Brook is Celebrate Jesus Sunday. Today's message is titled The Eternal Foundation of Our Celebration. The Eternal Foundation of Our Celebration. Elder Grace spoke last week about celebrating the Good Shepherd. And to continue our celebration on this third Sunday in April, we are going to be looking at a portion from the Gospel of John. Because frankly, when it comes to what it means to celebrate Jesus and why we celebrate Jesus, nobody explains it better. Nobody explains it better than John. So I want you to turn with me to John chapter 1, and we're going to read our text together. John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And the word of the Lord says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Amen. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. You have called me friend. God Almighty, Lord of glory. You know, this passage, to me, I could only think of one word as I thought, what does this passage mean? It's just sublime. That is the only word I could think of. It is absolutely sublime. I just don't know how any believer can hear that with full attention and an open heart and not be at least nudged towards a joyful celebration. This is an eternal foundation because no matter what happens in our lives, because no matter what gets swept away, no matter what sweeps in, this will remain. This foundation will remain. This will ever be true for us. This will ever be true about the one we call Lord and Savior. This will ever be true about us. The contents of this passage will not pass away. And so I celebrated this morning with you, and I want to take some time this morning to just savor with you as part of the celebration. Sort of us, like Michael asked us to get rid of this when I was speaking, so I remember that from our leaders meeting, so there it goes. But I just want to—I want us to think about it like having a celebration cake this morning together. The various portions, and I only got three that I want to target here, but I want us to savor the celebration together. It's a familiar passage, but it is an important passage. And you can't, to me, talk about celebrating Jesus without knowing who Jesus is. You know, you got to really dig in and know who he is so that the celebration is full. So let's take just a moment here and look at a few things here that John, writing as an eyewitness, points out to us. Writing as an eyewitness. The first thing that this passage tells us is that we don't have to wonder if there is a God. We don't have to wonder if there is a God. He has come to earth. He has come to earth. He has revealed himself. John said, we have seen his glory. We're not writing about something that somebody else told us. We are writing about what we ourselves have seen. And later on, he said, and we write these things down so our joy may be full. We may share this joy together and our joy may be full. So because of these words, we don't have to wonder if there is a God. We have seen his glory, said John. And essentially he says, and Jesus, what we have seen reveals that Jesus is no ordinary man. This is no ordinary man. The Word was God, it says. Through him, all things were made. The world was made through him. The Word became flesh The Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. God became a man, came to earth, and made His dwelling among us. The author of Hebrews chimes in, and I'd say he's a close second to John. But if you get my vote, John's number one, and this guy broke the tape a little bit after John. And he said these words. He said, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. Through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. I love that. He is, you see, Jesus, He is radiating the glory of God. And it says He is the exact representation of His being. The exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So the first thing, and we could savor this all day, but I got a couple more I want to share. But the first one is that we celebrate not just a Savior. We celebrate our Creator who came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is and was God in the flesh. So we are celebrating the one, the God of glory, who flung the stars into the universe and formed the planets and breathed the breath of life into all living things. We celebrate Him in Jesus. Second, we don't have to wear ourselves out looking for the meaning of life. John tells us here, you don't have to wonder, what is life all about? You don't have to go on an expedition to try to find what is it all about. He has told us what life is all about, or the substance of life. We don't have to experiment and explore all the offerings of earthly life to find the essence of true life. We don't have to experiment looking here and there trying to find that it. We don't have to do that, John says. Because in Him, there is life. And that life is the light of men. You don't have to worry about trying to find it, trying to experience it. Jesus is it. It is in Him. The yearning our souls, the yearning of our souls deep down within is for connection with our Creator. And Jesus provides that. In Him, there is life. And that life was the light of men. That life, once you have that light, the light bulb comes on. And you see where life isn't. Not only do you know where it is, but the light of that life shows you where it isn't. In Him, there was life. And those who have experienced that life, they see the light. And they say, wow, whoa. Thank you, Jesus. The scriptures instruct us. The prophet Jeremiah, he instructs us to neither boast about our own, nor be intimidated by others' human wisdom, or by their might, or by their riches. Don't put your faith in how wise you are. Don't put your faith in how smart you are or how educated you are. Don't put your faith in how powerful you are relative to other people. Don't put your faith in how much you have materially or financially. But instead, put your confidence in what the Lord has revealed to you about Himself. Let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the way, the truth, and the life. People can only take so much of us. the best of them can only take so much of us, even at our best. But the Lord won't ever try to shut me up or shut me down or shut me out for seeking Him and for drawing near to Him and for clinging to Him and for coming to Him, because the scripture says, seek His face continually. It says, pray without ceasing, draw near to God. And all over the place, He's telling us, come to me, draw from me. I'm here. I've got it. And the reason why He doesn't despise us, and the reason why He doesn't turn us away or shut us out, shut us down, or try to turn us off, is because He knows that He is the life that we crave. And He knows He is the only source of the life that we crave. Years ago, you've heard me share with you, when our ministry was reforming, I asked the question of myself and I asked our leadership team, is Jesus enough? You've heard me refer to that before. Is Jesus enough? Now, what I meant by that is, in this era of increasing high tech and decreasing attention spans, can a ministry be built and sustained if the attraction is Jesus? If the attraction is Jesus, if what we are promoting is Jesus and not the dazzling trappings of a spectacular Sunday event, can it simply be Jesus? Can it just be about the magnificence of His person? Is that possible? Now, I got to share a brief testimony with you now. See, Brother Edgar interviewed me about my ministry last week, and he did a fantastic job, and it was different, and it was cute, and it was fun, and it was light, and it was intentionally brief. But the more revealing question to ask me is, what haven't I tried in ministry? What haven't I tried in ministry? The truth is, in 37 years of pastoral ministry, I have sampled just about every ministry experience a pastor can have. I've been a pastor of one of the most prominent and impressive ministries in Maryland. I've been the featured speaker at conferences around the country, done missionary work that's taken me to Africa and to Europe. I've written for some of the most influential Christian publications in the country. I've been involved in an advisory capacity with two presidential administrations, one Republican, one Democratic. I was even offered a position as a radio announcer. The station manager came to my home to personally offer me this position and took me out to dinner and tried to woo me to it, and I just said no, because I wanted to be involved in campus ministry. So when people talk to me about our ministry, hear me now, when people talk to me about the ministry taking off, this is how I feel. I feel like I've already taken off, orbited a few times, and come back to earth already. And that was the context of that question that I asked, is Jesus enough? It was not coming from a context of, I wish we could be this. It was, I've already been that. I've already been that. I've already seen that. I've already done that. I've already had that. I've already tasted that. Is Jesus enough? Now that I've come around and experienced all of that, is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? If ministry is more about its attractions than the attraction of Jesus, count me out. Can't do it anymore. If the flow of this ministry ever starts going in the direction of being more impressive and less about Jesus, count me out. If our conversations as leaders are more about the influence of our ministry than it is about Jesus' influence in our ministry, count me out. If my pedigree as a pastor, my personal prominence, is more important than my promotion of the master, count me out. I'm not judging anybody else. I'm not hating on any other ministry. I'm talking about me as a pastor. I'm talking about my place in this ministry. See, every once in a while, it's good for a spiritual leader to let the people know where they're coming from. Every once in a while, step back so they know where you're coming from. Because you know what? You're not going to always deliver a home run in your message. You're not always going to execute ministry properly. You're not going to always make the right decisions. You're not always going to be on it. Sister Grace is not always going to make you stand up and dance, but you need to understand something about her. And I like what one sister said about Grace's message. She said, boy, she speaks like she's a daughter of the Lord. See, that's what you want. That's where you want to come from. You want it to be about the one you're celebrating. Every once in a while, it's good for spiritual leaders to just tell people where they're coming from. In other words, who is Jesus to you? What is this about for you? See, as far as my influence goes, I want others to see me and hear me and want Jesus. I want them to hear and see whatever they hear and see in me. I want it to have the effect of making them want to check Jesus out for themselves more deeply. I want them to say, wow, I want that with him. I'm on a collision course. I am on a collision course with any obstacle that I encounter on this road that I'm traveling called Jesus is the life. I'm not detouring. Anything that's coming from the opposite direction by way of obstacle, we're going to run right into each other because that's the road he set me on. And that's the reason I say this is a Rolls Royce of a ministry, because I'm surrounded by brothers and sisters. Like you in this room and you listening, I'm surrounded by brothers and sisters whose hearts are in agreement that Jesus is enough, but we still want more. We're hungry for more. We know him, but we want to know him. We know we've got him, but we want to have more of him. We want to know him better. And that's why I say that. This is a Rolls Royce of a ministry. So I don't need y'all to buy me a Bentley. You are my Bentley. You are my Bentley. Now, if one shows up in my driveway, I am not so spiritual that I won't drive it. Just so you know. But that is not what drives me. I will drive it, but that is not what drives me. What drives me is knowing the one that John speaks about here in John chapter 1. That drives me, and the desire to know him better, and the desire to be a part of a church community, a family of people who are together saying, yes, Jesus, more. More of you. And let the expression of our ministry flow from our relationship with you. Let our outreach come from within, from the inside out. Here's why Jesus is the life and why that's my solid position. From the Old Testament, I wrote this Monday. From the Old Testament through the New, the words that are used to describe our Lord's dealings with mankind are nothing short of lavish. Just a few examples. As he said to Abraham, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. And then from the prophet Isaiah, and the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow, and refined aged wine. David wrote, "My cup runneth over." In Jesus' words, God returns our giving in his name, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. And the scripture is replete with these expressions of Jesus being abundant in his giving, in his provision, and God being abundant in his giving and his provision. However, meeting our physical needs and desires is only part of the generosity the Lord wants us to experience. From the Old Testament through the New, he has also wanted us to know him. He wants us to experience his person as lavishly as we experience his provision. He wants us to experience his person as lavishly as we experience his provision. Consider these verses. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forever. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. He has always wanted us to know his ways, not just his acts. He has always wanted us to know his ways, not just his acts. To learn to hear his voice, to know what makes him smile, what motivates him, his creativity, his humor, his sense of humor, his joy, his affection, his gentleness. In other words, he not only wants to do for us, he wants to be to us. So may we be blessed as we seek the abundance of the Lord's person as well as his provision. And this is what Jesus being the life means to me. Now, let me just say a word to those of you who have heard this before, and those of you who have signed on to this, and those of you who may be listening and saying amen with your lips, but your heart is a little bit discouraged because your experience has not caught up with what you are praying about. You are praying, I want to know you more, Jesus. And you don't know what else to do. You're saying, it's not happening for me, Pastor, the way it's happening for you. I see what it says. You're talking a good line. I believe it, but I want to receive it more fully. I want that to be my experience. I want to be able to say that. I'd like to be able to stand up there and say that as passionately and have it as true about me. So what gives? What's happening? Is God turning me off? Is he shutting me down? Is he shutting me out? What's going on? Well, the first thing, you know, I have a little mug at home. And you know what it says on it? He's doing it. So the first thing you need to recognize is that he is doing it. You know, our grandson is planting a little terrarium, you know, and he is just fascinated by it. But as you know, things start happening beneath the surface before they show up on the surface. So you think that it's not happening, but you're looking on the surface. You don't look at it, you're not seeing all the stuff that God is moving around to make that desire even bigger in you. Why do you think you're keeping on asking about it? Because he's making room inside of you for what is happening within to just blossom and mushroom out. So don't be so quick to say it's not happening. Don't be so quick to say, and it's probably likely that people around you see more of what's happening than you do. You're probably looking in the mirror at the same old you, and other people are looking at you and saying, wow, that's a little bit different. Well, you know, you said that a little bit different. You know, you're acting a little bit different. What's going on here? What's going on is that what you've been asking for, what you've been seeking, the Lord has been doing. See, and this is why I'd say, keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Don't be discouraged. See, you're not asking the Lord for something cheap. When we are asking the Lord, Lord, we want to know you better. That's not a throwaway That's not a fallback position. You know what we're asking for? We are asking for the most precious commodity in the universe. We are not asking for something cheap. It's free, and it is for us. But it is the most precious thing that he has to offer. And it belongs to you. But understand that you're asking for something precious, and it's worth the persistence. Getting to know him is the life. That's what it's about. It's the gift that keeps on giving forever, which makes it a gift like none other. In him there is life, and that life was the light of men. And the third thing is this. There isn't a single person on earth, according to John, there isn't a single person on earth who is ineligible for inclusion in the kingdom of God. There isn't a single person on earth who is ineligible for inclusion in the kingdom of God. To all who received him, it says, he gave the right. To all who received him, he gave the right. Last week, Steph Curry became the NBA Golden State Warriors all-time leading scorer. Steph is also a believer, outspoken believer. And that's not really a surprise when you consider that he grew up in a Christian home. Both of his parents are believers. He went to a small Christian school. Mickey Mantle is a different story. Mickey Mantle is a different story. He's a superstar baseball player. He was also a man of major excess. He was a man who gorged himself on the deceitful delights of fame and money until he couldn't take any more. He was a man who denied his ravenous appetites very little of what they craved. When he was asked about being a role model to kids, here's my message as a role model. These are his words. Don't be like me. Don't do what you see me doing. Don't say what you hear me saying. Don't act like you see me acting. Don't be like me. Everything you see, everything you hear, don't do that. But Mickey had a teammate. He had a teammate. His name is Bobby Richardson. And Bobby Richardson was a believer. And he shared his faith with Mickey. And Mickey came to Christ. He became a believer. And as their fellowship grew, Mickey told Bobby that he wanted him at his funeral. Because see, Mickey thought, I'm not going to make it to 60. I'm going to die young. So while I'm still robust and young, I'm going to just gorge myself. I'm going to go for it. So he never thought he'd make it to 60. So he told Bobby Richardson, when I kick the bucket, I want you to read this poem at my funeral. And later on, Mickey made peace with his estranged wife, Marilyn. And he told her the same thing. He said, Marilyn, when I die, I want you to read, make sure that Bobby reads this poem at my funeral. And so on August 13th, 1995, Mickey Mantle died. And sure enough, Bobby Richardson read this poem at Mickey's funeral. And it goes like this. Your name may not appear down here in this world's hall of fame. You may be so unknown that few even know your name. Fame and fortune pass you by and are given to a few. But if you love and serve the Lord, there's good news for you. The hall of fame is only good as long as time shall be. But keep in mind, God's hall of fame is for eternity. To have your name inscribed up there is greater, yes, by far, than all the halls of fame down here and every man-made star. This crowd on earth, they soon forget. The heroes of the past, they cheer like mad until you fall. And that's how long you last. I tell you, friend, I wouldn't trade my name, however small, that's written there beyond the stars in that celestial hall. For every famous name on earth or glory that they share, I'd rather be an unknown here and have my name up there. You know, there are multitudes of cases like Mickey Mantle. The only reason why I shared Mickey Mantle is because it's a famous name. There are a whole bunch of other people's names who are famous who've come to know the Lord. But this was a man who's very unlikely citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Very unlikely that this would be his story. And here is a man who knows about the Hall of Fame. He knows what he's talking about when he says, hey, I'd rather have my name down up there than to have 100 Hall of Fames down here. He knew what he was talking about when he said, people will love you until you fall, and then they forget about you. He had everything. He knew all about fleeting fame and empty fortune. And so he, when he read that poem, when that poem was read to him, Mickey Mantle, he heard truth. And he wanted that truth repeated at his funeral as his testimony. To everyone who believed, he gave the right to become children of God. Not to all who earned it by living exemplary lives. To everyone. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and in him was life. And to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. And that is why we celebrate. That is why we celebrate Jesus. And I'm done.